Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Thank you.
Hey, you are all about relationship.
And, yes, sir.
You and I have kind of developed a relationship
That's
over
so
the
nice.
Years of doing
I know.
This show.
How about that?
You use that in your practice, and we're continuing a series you started here last couple of weeks on the power of relationship, why
yeah.
that's so important
yeah.
in estate planning. And kind of, you want to tell us a little bit of your story of how you even got into the law field.
Yeah. And what kind of led me to this road of relationship instead of what I kind of call traditional attorneys, which is an attorney where you may go and they produce a document. They produce a legal instrument. And then because the task is done, because the document is done, they may look at you and say, hey, if you need something else.
See you in 20 years.
Yeah, let me know. And that's right. If you created a trust with an attorney, it takes about 10 years before you'll have enough going on and get insecure that says, I should go back. If you've used a will document, then it's 20 years or more.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of gap. There's a lot of things that go on in our life in 20 plus years. Our family changes, our finances change. On my side of the table, the law changes, taxes change. And if you die or become incapacitated and we have to use that 20-year-old document, boy, I'm telling you, you're putting someone else's back against the wall in trying to use a very old document. And so when I went to law school, I knew that I wanted to do this estate planning thing. There were a couple individuals who came into my life, kind of dropped this estate planning thought process into my heart. So I went through law school with an eye towards doing exactly what I do. I took more classes concerning estate planning. I ended up gravitating towards a master's in taxation, not to fight the IRS, but towards estate planning again. Mm. So everything that I did in law school was really towards this estate planning journey. But it was really difficult in law school for me. So I had walked with Christ for 20 years.
Yeah, you had some life under your belt before
I
got into law. You were 40.
Yes, right.
So people do this usually in their 20s.
Yes, that's right. And so I went to law school when I was 38, graduated at the age of 41, and it came out with my JD, my Juris Doctorate. Every attorney has a Juris Doctorate, but I had additional education. I have a master's of my doctorate in taxation. So all of this was to point me towards this area of law. But throughout all of law school, the difficulty is that in at least where I was, there are a lot of type A personality professors. Mm. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm not type A personality or that I have some characteristics of being very driven.
Maybe you're between B and A.
Okay, between B and A. I don't even know what type B is, but great. So I have some of those personality traits. But still, when you get into an environment of attorneys and law and courtrooms and then for a large part of it, the absence of Christ, then the type A personality begins to wear on you. And I looked all across the spectrum of the people that were educating me. And even though I had walked with Christ for 20 years, this became a real moral conflict for me. You would think that after I was well established in who I was, in my faith level, in my faith journey, that this would be a rather simplistic thing. Well, of course I want to use where God has called me for the benefit of the kingdom. But then, you know, they don't teach you how to do that in law school for sure. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I had very, very few examples, actually no examples of what did it look like to do this thing called being an attorney and blending this with the core of who I am, which is a follower of Christ. And so all my examples were professors, and at the very last semester, I mean my last semester of law school, I took a real estate class, and in walks a gentleman. His name is Steve Owen. Now, I've communicated with Steve after law school. We remained in communication until I moved back to Seattle. And I've had the opportunity to actually communicate my appreciation to him. Because for the first time, the very last semester of my law school, for the first time, I had someone who walked in who demonstrated meekness, who demonstrated kindness.
Service.
Who demonstrated that servant's heart. And it was night and day. And a couple classes into this real estate class, I knew exactly who he was. And I knew exactly what my gracious father was doing, which is, Paul C., you can just be you. You don't have to be somebody else. You don't have to follow what everyone else has demonstrated in their world of law. You can be you. You can be exactly who I've called you to be, and I'm going to guide you. I'm going to guide you so that you can have your heart's desire, which is, I love to serve people. I truly do. So I found this example of, okay, fine, good. Thank you, Lord. I can actually be this thing called Christian and law, and I see an example of someone who is successful and has blended it together. But now there's still a gap. There's still a gap of, what does it mean to run an estate planning law firm? And what does it mean to then have this ability to care for people long-term instead of just this document producer? Because again, that's my only example coming out of law school. And I was introduced to an organization called the National Network of Estate Planning Attorneys. Now, there's a couple of attorneys who listen to me. I know this because we've talked and we've met each other. So if you're an attorney out there and you're hearing me, you need to look up the National Network of Estate Planning Attorneys. This group created a business model that I have taken on, and I'm extremely grateful to them, that shows that I can remain in relationship and have a successful way of creating estate plans without the gap of, here's your document. So Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40, a Pharisee comes to Jesus and says, Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? So we all know this. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now, what's funny is that this person asked, what's the greatest commandment? But look what Jesus does. He doesn't stop with the greatest. He says, but the second one. So he continues. So he's giving more information than what the question. See, as an attorney, I tend to do this, which is I answer five questions all in once, assuming that you're going to ask a follow-up question to me. So here's what Jesus does. He continues and says the second one. I know you didn't ask this, but I'm going to tell you the second one too. The second one is like it. In other words, it is equal to it. It is akin to it. It is as valuable as the first, which is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
And interesting that he pulled that second one out of thin air, like you say. It was not one of the well-known commandments. It was a very kind of obscure idea that was kind of buried in there. You could find it if you look, but it wasn't part of, you know, the Ten Commandments, the Big Ten or whatever.
So. That's right. Mm-hmm. And so, and not only that, but Jesus talks about the commandment that I have given you. Well, here it is. This is the commandment that Jesus has given us, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so I look at this in my call to Christianity. Well, this to me speaks of, how do I serve other people? How, in order for me to express Christianity, how do I serve those he puts in my path? I don't know if I can do one without the other. As a matter of fact, when Christians try to do one without the other. When you try to take up a social cause, when you try to take up a political cause, when you try to take up a religious cause, when you try to take up these things that become the deal of the day, and you forget the call to love the person right next to you, that's when imbalance happens. So there is a zeal of the Lord, but it is only expressed through the zeal of loving each other. That is how we express our passion to the Father, is by reaching out to the one who stands next to us and demonstrate his graciousness, his love, his peace, his kindness, his goodness. As a matter of fact, Colossians 3:12 says, clothe yourself. So in other words, that's an action. I must put on something. Before coming into the radio station, I got dressed. Mark, I know you're very happy that I did. And I'm assuming that the radio audience, even though it's radio, that I actually had to
looking pretty sharp today, too.
Thank you kindly.
Wearing a jacket.
Thank you very much. I had to take an action. Clothes don't magically appear on me. Like everybody else, I have to put one leg in a pant at a time, and then I have to put my shirt on, and then the jacket that Mark just mentioned. So, in other words, this is an action that we must take. We have to clothe ourselves. It is a forthright, intentional act that we must do. And what must we do? Paul says to Colossians, clothe yourselves with these things: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So now we're giving a full expression of what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, it means to put this onto yourself with the help of Christ so that we can give it out to a dying world. I need to be a person of compassion, of kindness, of humility, gentleness, and patience. That's what I want to give to each person that walks into my office. Now, sorry, you're also going to find out that Paul Grant is human, and I am not yet perfect. I am trying, but yet, so each of us, we look at this, and our own selves get in the way. However, this is what I want to be. And so now, through this journey of what does it mean to be an attorney and fulfill the greatest commandment, the commandment that Jesus gave us, which is to love the Lord your God and each other in the way that Paul told us. Well, now how do I do that? I only know how to do that through relationship. I only know how to give a better picture of who our Heavenly Father is by relationship. And so through the network, through a business model that I've been able to capture, I've set up a whole different model of what does it mean to work with an attorney in estate planning. And in the model, it's not just a one-and-done document. It is the ability for us to remain in relationship, stay connected, so that I have the ability to continually demonstrate that service that I've been called to as an attorney. And I have found what, for me, is a very fulfilling area of my life and calling in Christ Jesus. So there is a part of the base and the background of what does it mean for Paul Grant to have a law firm and what was some of my journey. And that really is important as we start asking some of these other questions here after the break.
Okay, the power of a relationship in estate planning. And if you like the heart of Paul Grant, you might want to find out more about his services. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. As a matter of fact, this is number 3 in our series, so there's past podcasts. There's ways to communicate with us and upcoming educational opportunities. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Legacyandfaith.com. Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week, Paul continuing his series on the power of relationship. Heard some of his kind of testimony of why he likes relationship and estate planning, and moving into some of the more specifics of this. And again, you always talk about you wanted to be an attorney who's not just a document producer.
Right.
And there's so much more to estate planning than that. So why don't you develop this idea a little bit more?
Yeah. And of course, in estate planning, I have to produce a document. So at the end of the day,
good documents are good.
Yeah, they are. They are important. And we need them. We need a trust and a will. We need financial powers of attorneys. We need health care power of attorneys. We need end-of-life documents. So we need these things in order to actually memorialize what our intent is. But unfortunately, like you said, a lot of the way it's done in the attorney world is, here's your document.
See you later.
Yeah. And we might see you later. Many clients who are older now feeling that push to redo things. Well, their attorneys either died, retired, can't find them, or whatever the scenario is. So what does it mean? They didn't stay in a relationship. The attorney didn't stay in contact. And so therefore, it's really difficult to stay on top of your documents. So what does it look like if someone were to come into my office and say, okay, Paul, tell me about yourself. Tell me about this relationship gig. What does it mean? So I'm going to get some documents at the end of the day. Yes, you are. But then you talk about this relationship thing. Okay, well, let's talk about it a little bit. Let me talk about some of the specifics. I'm going to paint an overview first, and then maybe we can come back and start tackling them one at a time. This is going to flow into next week's show. So there's the teaser. You got to come back next week to finish this out. But so the overview is that in a natural cycle of an annual cycle of what a client would expect from our firm is, first of all, at the very beginning of the year, we send out an estate review. So that's the major decisions that you have put into your trust document. And we want you to take a look at those to make sure that something in your personal life has not changed. In addition, we're also going to send you a list of all of your assets and whether or not they are blending and whether they're integrated into the plan. So we need you to look at your, review your documents, not the actual document, excuse me, review what decisions you've made and review your assets. Make fine-tune adjustments on either of those issues. Then in the very beginning of February, we have an opportunity, it's called Back to Basics, which is, we put on a class for our clients, and it is a repeat of, hey, many years ago, you went through and we asked you a bunch of questions. That's how we elicited everything that we need to know about you and your family and the vision that you have for your family, how to care for them, how to transfer wealth, how to make sure you're well taken care of. But over the years, I've continually grown as an attorney. And so how I ask certain questions, or we implement new ideas, or there's been something in the law that's changed that you may have not gotten. So we want to take you back on a short, quick hit of all the different questions that we ask so that you are up to date with exactly what's going on from our perspective and how you perceive the question. Also, did you know that I may ask you one question and you hear it in one way, and then three, five, X many years down the road, you hear it in a completely different way?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever read the Word of God and you've read the scripture and you've read it and you've read it and you've read it, then all of a sudden it just like pops off the page,
sure,
and you go, oh my gosh, mm-hmm, how have I read this so many times? And yet here today is when it jumps off the page and I see it in a different light.
Yeah.
Well, because we change. So I may ask the same question, or I may present it in a slightly different way, and you may have a different take on it at that point in time. So that's back to basics. And so that's available for clients to always go through. Then as we march through, if someone had an adjustment, we may need to make an amendment to their documents. We do that in the late winter and early spring. Right now, we are in the middle of our annual client meeting. So as the year continues, we enter into a group activity, which is, so over the past many weeks, about 275 of my clients have ran through group meetings. We have about 50 people or so in a meeting at a time. It allows me to talk about what's happening in the law, and it's one environment. I'm able to say the thing once to a group of people. Mm-hmm. So we've had six different meetings throughout the Pacific Northwest. We were down in Tacoma, Bellevue, multiple in Linwood, and we're going up to Bellingham. So we have different places where we do the meetings because we have clients throughout the entire Pacific Northwest. So that's the opportunity for us to touch base with our clients and see you on an annual basis. And yes, that is actually required, that clients come to that in order to stay in the relationship. Then we move into the summer months. The summer months, then we do what is called a client update program. Client update programs is when a group of other clients, not all of them, so we have you on a 3-year rotation. And if it's your year, we bring you back to the office and we've reprinted your entire trust and all your power of attorneys. And so you get a refreshed, up-to-date, one fluid document again every 3 years out of our system. And so that is in the summer months and into the early fall. Then we have educational classes. I've talked about this in recent discussions. So again, legacyandfaith.com, you can find the past podcasts.
And you do those in person and also online.
Yes,
too.
We do record it. We put it out. We want families to have the education. What happens when someone dies? What's the process going to look like? What happens if someone becomes incapacitated or disabled, and now a family member or a friend has to step in to assist manage your money? That's a very different role than if you just die. So, and then what does it look like for a beneficiary? So we take the beneficiary's perspective. So these are the three different classes that we rotate on a 3-year schedule as well. So what other law firm have you ever heard of that educates you and continually educates you and your family? We are about education. We want you to be ready if you lose a spouse. We want your family to be ready if they lose a parent, because when you have this base education, it makes the transition so much smoother. They are more ready. Instead of meeting me for the first time, when one of the worst days of their life happens, they just lose a parent, nobody's having fun on that day, and then they got to go meet somebody if they can even find them. And so the document mentality does not set the family up for success. Mm. As a matter of fact, because it's usually very old, it actually creates a very negative experience in that. So then in the end of the year, we're actually administratively resetting the whole program, and we enter back into it at the beginning of the year again. So there's kind of a broad overview of what does it mean. That would be a client's experience of what does it mean to be in relationship with an estate planning law firm instead of just simply having a document. And you may think, my gosh, why would I need to do that? Well, because you're not stagnant. Documents are. The law is not stagnant. Documents are. So there is always a moving part of our life.
The law is changing that much every year.
It really does. I can tell you a story, many stories of where I create documents and then I go and learn something new. I go to four different week-long sessions. So that's a month of my time that I give to further education every single year. That's a lot of time. And I'm always learning new stuff. Well, how do I implement that? You can't get it if I'm in a traditional system. So I'm always evolving. The law is evolving. Taxes are. And so is your family. So are your finances. So is your health. What happens when you have a health incident? All of this creates a safety net to ensure that your family is going to experience a smooth transition, and that is almost always, if not the highest goal, one of the highest goals that every client comes to the table with.
The power of relationship in estate planning, the subject this week in this wonderful series. Again, if you'd like to hear the first couple of episodes, you can go to legacyandfaith.com to hear those. And we're going to hear more, I think, next time about some more specifics of how a relationship works with your firm.
So come on back next week and a past podcast, like Mark just said, educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us at legacyandfaith.com.
Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.